This half hour into the sometimes misunderstood world of the younger generation. We'll meet a Peace Corps worker who's taking American compassion and concern halfway around the world. And we'll meet a young lady who thinks she's growing older and wouldn't have it any other way. And here's young Jack Jones from Monitor Music, Good Times.
When I ran to the store with a penny, and when youth was abundant and plenty, classify these as good times. Good times. When I rolled rubber tires in the driveway, pulled a purse on a string across the highway, classify these as good times. Good times are coming, humming. Good times are coming, humming. Go to school, fight a war, working steady. Meet a girl, fall in love before I'm ready. Classify these as good times. Good times. Here I sit with a drink and a memory, but I'm not cold and I'm not wet and I'm not hungry. So classify these as good times. Good times. Good times are coming, humming. Good times are coming, humming. Classify these as good times. Good times. Good times are coming, humming. Good times are coming, humming. Good times.
Today's younger generation is the week-to-week assignment of Monitor reporter Linda Sutter. She goes everywhere, speaks to everyone, to bring back to us the full picture of the varied ideas and activities attracting young people today. This time, she spoke to a member of the Peace Corps, a serious-minded young man who not only went in willingly, but stayed in.
Bartley Moore, who's 27 years old, left the University of Kentucky in 1964 to join the Peace Corps. He was sent to a small city in Iran called Gonbad, and he's been in the Peace Corps in Gonbad ever since. He served 2 two-year terms, the second one at the request of the Iranian government, and he's going back at the end of this month for his fifth, and he says his final year. Bartley, why have you stayed in the Peace Corps for 5 years?
At the end of my first 2 years, I was in the middle of a number of projects, and the people wanted me to come back. I had been happy with them, and they really indicated to me they wanted me back, so I thought it's something very worthwhile, and when you're doing something worthwhile, you should stick with it.
Do you think that 2 years is in general too short a time for Peace Corps volunteers? Do you think that maybe the term ought to be 4 or 5 years?
I tend to think that perhaps it should be at least 3 years, because I found in my own experience that I was at the point when I should have been coming home at the end of the 2 years was the point when I was really becoming effective. And I know from what I've been able to do these past 2 years that it frightens me when I think that I might have left at the end of my first two-year term, because we've been much closer with the people. When I went back to them, they wonder why you come to begin with, and then it takes you a while to gain the confidence of the people.
Do you find that initially, when you start something like this, that the people of Gondan, just because that's where you've been, are skeptical of your motives? I mean, do they trust you?
Initially, when I first went there, I think they were, definitely. It was hard for them to understand why an American would be leaving America to come there. Perhaps a volunteer, of course, volunteers do go with the good motives and wanting to help the people, but the people don't really know that, and you don't convince them by just telling them so. You have to, actions speak louder than words. You have to prove yourself.
But your intention is not to, say, Americanize Gondan.
Oh, no, indeed. And this is the thing I worked about from the beginning, that when I did, as I said, it took nearly a year really before I was doing this library project, which was the first major project. And the reason I could have gone in and just maybe opened the library in a month or in a week if I'd wanted to do it with American money and with American books and everything. But it took me this long because I wanted to do it with and through the people. Because anything that a foreigner, say, does just by himself, when the foreigner leaves, the work stops. And this has happened so many times, for instance, in our foreign aid program. I mean, this is generally recognized now that many times that you don't really make progress or develop communities just by pouring in a lot of money. And this is where the Peace Corps concept of working with the individual and not going with money, but going with yourself, giving yourself rather than bearing gifts, so to speak. I think in our program with our work overseas or even here at home, it's the personal element that counts more than the money. This is the Peace Corps idea. It's the Peace Corps concept.
Thank you, Barclay. Barclay Moore, who's going back to Iran for his fifth year in the Peace Corps. This is Linda Sutter reporting for This Younger Generation on Monitor.
Thank you, Linda. Barclay Moore, one of the millions of young people who never make the headlines but are doing the job, quietly and with a faith in the future, both theirs and ours.
Mère Peabody, qui a fait son temps de guerre du côté anglais, est un fantôme féroce qui ne me pardonne pas d'avoir choisi pour mes noces un mari François. Mon ancêtre Mortimer Peabody, a perdu une autre guerre contre les Français. Il s'est si bien habitué au ciel de Paris qu'il ne peut plus le quitter, même pour une nuit. Quand je vais à Londres aujourd'hui, Mortimer me crie: Que fais-tu là? Ramène-moi, mets-tu là, aux folies bergères.
honor to music, Petula Clark, who pronounced it better than I may be able to, Kerfetula. I looked up the translation, and it really means, ready? You, the monitor beacon, are on.
Do you know what to do in case of a heart attack? The most important step is to call a doctor immediately, then help the patient into a comfortable position. This is usually halfway between lying and sitting. Make no attempt to lift the patient, and be sure to loosen all tight clothing. See that the patient isn't chilled, but don't let him sweat, and don't give him anything to drink. If you follow these simple steps, you may be able to prevent a life from becoming a statistic. For a booklet on heart attacks, write the New York Heart Association, 2 East 64th Street, or call 838-8800, extension 826.
What NBC News is to the nation, WNBC News is to New York. Worldwide or citywide, our coverage is complete. For in-depth analysis, comprehensive coverage, and the latest details of New York news, New Yorkers turn to WNBC Radio 66, New York. WNBC Radio 66, New York.
Monitor, Ted Steele here, and if you're one of those people who occasionally asks, hey, whatever happened to what's her name? Well, you'll find out right after this music by Harper's Bazaar, Drifter.
Once again, there's a feeling inside of me, nothing new. I felt it before, like the voice of the hunger inside of me, crying out, there's got to be more.
Back to that question, whatever happened to that lovely little girl who won the Olympic skating championship? Well, that lovely little girl was Carol Heiss. She's married now, and Monitor's Bob Braun found out whatever happened.
I'm sure you've often wondered what happens to Olympic stars of yesteryear, and Carol, it hasn't really been too long of a yesteryear since you were winning that gold medal at the Olympics. About 8 years now, right?
That's right. Actually, the 8 years have gone very, very quickly.
And you've since then married, and you now have a family.
Yes, I have a boy who's 6 and a half, Mark, and I have a little girl, Karen, who will be 4 in a couple of weeks.
Do you skate anymore?
Very little, strictly for pleasure. I take the neighborhood children out. We play a little hockey. We fool around a little bit. I swing them around, try to tell them to bend their knees and have no fear. We have a lot of fun.
How do you suddenly stop a career like that?
The first 4 or 5 years, I really didn't skate very much. I did the first year after the Olympics because I turned professional and skated hard for about a year and a half. Then somehow or another, both my husband and I dropped the skating because you really can't skate for pleasure. You're a little bit frustrated because you want to go out on the ice and do all the double jumps that you could do when you were in training. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this just doesn't work. But now that I'm getting older, and it's 8 years, I can go out and really have fun.
Do you mind if I point out that getting older means that you've grown from 20 when you won the gold medal to all of 28 now? That's rather young to be retired, isn't it?
Well, you know, figure skating is really for the young. It's a wonderful sport to do all your life. But if you're in competitive figure skating, you start at the age of 5 or 6. And by the time a girl is 18, they have reached their peak. A boy, 20, 21. But it's just that you're getting older and you don't have the time to devote to figure skating. And also, pretty soon you're giving up more than you're getting out of the sport.
You were the gold medal winner in 1960. There'll come a time when I suppose you'll say, I was only 10 when I won that. Do you think that's possible?
I don't know. I'll tell you, the older I get, the better I feel. And I wouldn't go back to being 16 or 18 for anything in the world. I think I'm much happier now at 28, and I imagine looking at some of the housewives in the area that 38 should be even better.
Didn't you, shortly after the Olympics, go into the motion pictures, and didn't you make a movie?
Yes, I made The Fairy Tale of Snow White. The only difference was that Snow White was a figure skater. And I really enjoyed it very much. I was out in Hollywood for 4 months. I did it mainly because I was able to earn some money and pay my father back and my skating coach and help out with some of the family expenses. I know I wouldn't want to do that at all because I think it's a completely different world. And I think it's interesting for someone who might be single. But when you're married and have a family, this is a full-time job, and this is what I always wanted to do.
So you played Snow White, huh?
Yes.
If only I were a handsome prince. This is Bob Braun at WLW in Cincinnati for Monitor.
Ah, Bob, I remember little Carol whirling around the ice. It was, to use a phrase that old sports writers have to use at least once a year to retain their good standing, it was poetry in motion. The way a Frank Sinatra with a lyric is poetry in motion, too. Here's a Monitor demonstration.
Gotta have you near all the time, with your dreams wrapped in mine. Gotta be a part of your soul and of your heart all the time. Nothing in the world that I do means a thing without you. I'm just half alive in my struggle to survive without you. Nothing more.
Did you know that on this date in 1955, the first World Series game televised in color was played between the Yankees and Dodgers? Remember when they used to play in the World Series? Next week, it's the Cards against the Tigers, and you can see it in color on NBC TV. It's on NBC Radio, too, of course, but not in color. Sorry. Robinson, escorted this time by Enoch Light. Hey, some data. NBC News on the Hour next. I'm Ted Steele, your monitor host, and there's more.
The more we hear, the more we learn. To keep well informed is a major concern. So listen for things that are happening on NBC.
What are you doing with your retirement? Now that you've learned what living is all about, why not spend a year teaching it? Volunteers in service to America are needed now to help in the war on poverty. Vista volunteers live where the poor live. They teach some of the lessons they've learned in their own lives. Their work is paying off. Come out of retirement, into the poverty fight. Write Vista, Box 7, Washington, D.C.
It happens on WNBC, Radio 66, New York, weekdays from noon to 3. The Jim Gerhardt Show. And this is Gerhardt reminding you, I'm doing my thing at a new time, noon to 3, Monday through Friday, on WNBC, Radio 66. Be here.
Sound that beats the others cold. Jack Hayes turns it on. Weekdays, 9 to noon, on WNBC, Radio 66, New York.